only high enough to see the ground below. I only go up at night. That's when no one else can see me being foolish and wishing for one more chance to do it all again. I was so much younger then and blinded by the beauty of the sun. It looked so lovely, I just had to touch it once, then tumbling down into the sea. Now I know. He taught me how to fly, and like any son, I wanted to make sure my good intentions, but words from the wise are wasted on the foolish and the young. Only go up at night. The illusion is complete. No one knows of my survival. Twilight hours are mine and mine alone. I was so much younger then and blinded by the beauty of the sun. Looked so lovely, I just had to touch it once, then tumbling down into the sea. Now I know. I was so much younger then and blinded by the beauty of the sun. It looked so lovely, I just had to touch it once, then tumbling down into the sea. Now I know. I was so much younger than I was by the beauty of the sun. It looked so lovely, I just had to touch it once, then tumbling down into the sea. Now I know.
Folk music gets just such a bad rap. It does. It just gets such a bad rap, and it just, I look around and I think about, you know, me, here I am doing folk music. There's a couple of black people that do it, like four or five of us. And we cornered a market and find our way, but it just gets such a lousy rap. And we don't need to apologize for it. I'm here to make it so that folk music and its performance can be performed in such a way that people don't roll their eyes as soon as an acoustic guitar gets taken out. Yeah. You know, that's what tends to happen. You take out an acoustic guitar, people suppose you're gonna have a cowboy hat, and you know, there goes the neighborhood. And I think folk music can have a better rap than that. And even if you have to rap in your folk song, at whatever it takes, I'm a real purveyor of doing whatever it takes to get your song across, your good song. I think the greatest thing in folk music is that we leave a legacy. And we leave a legacy because the lyric is a big thing. And I'm really interested in getting the lyric across. That's where I've been now for the last, 7 years to a decade. It's not so much groove in folk music is great, and it merely is something else to get your good song across. So that's what this next hour and a half is gonna be about, doing everything we can to make it so that those of you who are willing to come up here and do some stuff with me, and those of you who are just thinking about it, and those of you who have never thought about it before and just want to give it an earball, what does it take to get your good song across? What is it? What are we doing on the main stage? What is it, you know, John Gorka does when he tucks his chin into his chest and goes to tell a story and does this? But you recognize it, don't you? And it's effective as hell. And there's other people, there's all kinds of people that do all kinds of things. Pete Mara, go back to back. You know, everybody has a little signature thing that they might do. It's not, you know, it's all drama. Don't get me wrong, this is all drama. And it's okay, it doesn't mean that folk music is dishonest because there's drama involved. It's all drama. It's just we're using the drama to get this thing that we're doing across. You guys leave here, you'll be driving home Sunday night, singing all Kumbaya, never turning back, never turning back. I feel so good, I got all folked this weekend. Driving home, eating granola and stuff. And your pop stop off at McDonald's and get a double cheese, and you're like, ah, I'm gonna let it fly now. But still, you've garnered a certain amount of zen, and that's because somebody got their song across to you. And we can all do that more effectively. And that's what I'm here to work on today. I want to really work on getting the song across effectively. I don't know how long I'm gonna run my mouth for, but I don't really give a damn because they gave me my check already. I don't care. I just did my little performance there because I haven't played in a couple weeks because I've been on vacation, and I like how I sound. I sound good. I'm very happy. How many people? My little arrogance that gets you everywhere, you know. And it's so good to be home. Honest to God, I haven't been here at the new space yet, and it's lovely. It's just as wonderfully muddy as the last one. It's like that Cave Wolf song, give yourself to mud, if mud is what you're after. It's like, you just walk and you're just like, oh hell, I ain't keeping these shoes clean. You just give in. You just start, you sort of, after a while you see people that just be, yeah, baby, just get right down in it. So that everybody's shoes look the same. Let's talk about this performance thing a little bit more. Let's talk about, we already mentioned what we're doing and why we're doing it. Now we need to talk about how we're doing it. I think what happens when we come up here, and what's going to happen when you come up here, is that I'm going to strip you down just a little bit. There are, girl, those days are done. Honestly, if this was 10 years ago, I'd have found out who said woo, and we'd be knocking boots back in the motel tonight. Now I look over an audience, and if there's women that look interested, I try to figure out which one of them is gonna make me a sandwich. And if there's a choice of two, and one of them seems like they might have pickles, I'm going home with her. If you take me home with you, I'm gonna sit up in your bed with a reading light. Look over you every once in a while and go, what? If you're looking for anything else, forget it, because I'm old. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm joking. No, look at this gray. And these two things racing to see which one meets the back of my neck first. It's really okay. This getting old thing is fun. I've earned all kinds of things here. This is fun. They like that here. So I'm gonna when I drag you up here, we're gonna strip parts of what you do away. And that could mean unloading the guitar for a while. Or that could mean asking you not to play it or not to sing and just take one aspect of what you do and we'll just take a look at it and see what's going on with it. And then we add the other parts back in. And that's how we look at it. What I'd like to do is run this thing as if it was a big open mic. How many people, first of all, how many people here actually brought instruments and would be mildly interested in working with me for a couple minutes? Okay, great. All right. I want you people right up front. Come on up front. You mind sitting up front? Yeah. So I can figure out who and where you are. Oh, that's good. This is a good turnout of folks. Yay, excellent. Yay, are you leaving loved ones back there? You'll bring your loved ones, sir. I know you're nervous without her. Will he just throw up if you're not here, if he can't see you? Oh, you sing together. Oh, there's a duo going on here. Oh, okay. All right. Excellent. Oh, we got accordions and everything. Yeah, you're really bucking the tide. Damn. You know that joke about this band stops off for buffet Chinese food on the road, which is what all bands go to. And they stop off to get something to eat. And the guys are talking and running their mouths. And the accordion player throws his accordion in the back of the car. And he doesn't close the door. And they're eating buffet Chinese. And all of a sudden he goes, oh my God, I left the car door open. And he runs out. And he runs to the car. And there's two other accordions. So, accordion, man, that instrument sucks. Anyway. So we'll be working on you to try to see if you can get to sell that damn thing and just sing or something. Because I tell you, you go walk around playing that thing, you don't get no booty doing that. That's all this is about. Let's tell it like it is. Look, I'll be 50 years old in October. I don't care. Singing folk music is about getting folk booty. That's all I care about. Are the children in here? Your parents can explain that to them unless they have cable, and they already know. So let's look at this as if it was a big open mic. And how many of you have been to an open mic? Okay, so you have an idea of what an open mic is. An open mic is a gathering of musical individuals that after hours that they just get together. It's more like an organized Nazi song swap, which that means that once you're done singing your song, you go home, you don't listen to anybody else. But in a good open mic, everybody stays and supports each other, and often there's even audience members there. So let's think of this thing as a big open mic. And I'm going to take you from top to bottom through a musical performance at an open mic as to what I think we should be looking at. And there are going to be things that I'm going to ask you to, in certain places, to do as I say, not do as I do, because performance is a very sacred thing, and I'm not very sacred right now. I have glasses on. I did have on a hat. This isn't very sacred for what we do. The mud is sacred if we all have it, but if I was really being sacred, I would change my shoes and make sure I was the performer and be that much more performer than you are audience. And I'm serious about that, because people want to see that. They like somebody just like them until they're up on the stage. And then when they're up on the stage, they want you a little bit. That's why the stage is elevated, not just for sidelines, because it's a sacred space. And that's how I'd really like to treat it. So let's think of this as a big open mic. So we're at the big open mic. And when we go to the open mic, basically the way that works is we take the afternoon off from work, and we drive to Schmucky's Coffee House, where they have the open mic. At the open mic starts at 7 o'clock, and the sign up list gets put out at 2:30. So you go to Schmucky's and you sign up on the sign up list, which means crossing out other people's names and putting your name forward. That's perfectly acceptable if you're an asshole. And you're hanging out at Schmucky's, and you've had the requisite one soda water. and some nachos, and you're sitting off to the side, and it's coming on, and you're first in line or second or whatever, and it's coming on your time to play. Coming to your time to play. And they call your name. Ladies and gentlemen, Vance Gilbert. Thank you so much. Notice the first thing I did. I stood up. As soon as my butt comes up off the chair, I'm performing. Soon as I'm out of the chair, I am performing. Why is that? It's because people are looking at you. And you have, to get your good song across, you have, some open mics, one song, two songs. You've got to make and take advantage of every second that you're in front of the audience to get your good song across. So as you get up out of the chair, as your butt comes up, you acknowledge the audience and you give them a nod. And as you come up to the microphone, you give them another nod. And then you start adjusting your stuff to get ready. Why all this nodding and everything else? Because what I'd like people to avoid doing, and we've all seen people, fledgling performers do it, is what I call the oceans. Because what they do is they say, ladies and gentlemen, Vance Gilbert, and you get up, oh shit. But suddenly you don't get a sense of who they really are. What you see is somebody at 7 o'clock in the morning looking for their keys. You know, that's not something you want to have as the basis on your sacred space to get your song across. You want to come up and let people know that you are as confident as can be as soon as your name is called. And it gives the opportunity from the get up space, nod, getting part way, nodding again, it lets them know that you're just not some person that's just going to eat the mic when you get here. You're going to get here, and that's part of your performance. It's all part of your deal. And you start adjusting the mic. Lefty loosey, righty tighty. Lefty loosey, righty tighty. And as you're adjusting the mic, you greet the audience.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. Please don't ask the audience how they are. Please. While we're under my tent and my rules go, don't ask the audience how they are. It's a lie. You don't care. If someone has not had their medication that day and they start hollering from the back, well, I got up this morning and I really couldn't go, so I had an extra cup of coffee, then I finally went and then I bought flowers for my mother because she died the day before and I went and put them in. That's stuff you didn't want to know, but you asked. So this is a relationship you're developing, which is what this folk music thing is about, to get your good song across. You're making a relationship with these people. That's a two-way street. They don't know you. You don't know them. You don't just ask them how they are. There's too many people. You can't get an honest response. That makes it a dishonest question. I know that sounds like, oh, isn't that just a little bit much for folk music? It's true. It's just each one of these little things, think of it as a little chip off of a piece of wood. And if you chip that piece of wood enough, the wood's going to fold in half and you're not going to have what you have anymore. Each one of these things is sacred. Each one of them is very sacred. So you say anything you want. Keep it brief. They will get to know you through song. Lefty loosey, righty tighty. That's very important. Because at some point, particularly if it's not brand new mic material, it may not happen to you, but at some point or another, somebody didn't do lefty loosey righty tighty a bunch of times, and these rubber grommets wear out, and there's nothing but metal to metal, like that guy's knees when he goes running nowadays. It's hard, isn't it, now that you're an old sucker, right? So after a while, your knees aren't like they used to, just like these grommets are, and you'll start your song with all the greatest of intentions. And the next thing you know, starry, starry night, paint your palette blue. It's like a 50-year-old divorcee on a first date. Not making any impressions to anybody. There's no way to stay cool while this is happening, I'm telling you. I don't care how damn good your song is. You can be John Mayer laying on the ground. It doesn't matter. This is so not cool. They don't make Viagra for mics.
So it's
righty tighty. Make sure it's where you need it to be. It only takes a couple of seconds. It takes far less long than you think it does. You might feel like, oh my God, that takes forever in your mind. That's just taking, I guess the audience is bored stiff. They want you to get it right the first time. So you've adjusted your mic, and this is usually hanging over the mic stand. In any good, this is for guitars that plug in. Does anybody here have a guitar that does not plug in? Okay, you don't have a guitar that plugs in? Damn, girl. That's all right, we'll work with you. Most people that are performing nowadays have a guitar that plugs in, even an acoustic guitar that plugs in. It just, the whole sense of like the guitar spraying its sound out of the hole at people is a fallacy. The sound is actually made in a bit of a circumference outside of the guitar. Most people in the studio will microphone a guitar sort of up between some of this stuff. So, but let's just say for now, this is hanging over here. The first thing you'll do in the midst of all this, you'll take it off the stand and you'll nod to, is it Rod is your dad. Your name is Craig?
Doug.
I knew it was some monosyllabic stuff that ended in G. So you do like this, you pull this off of there, and Doug is gonna nod at me. I'll put the thumbs up, I'll do some other obsequious shit. He's gonna do something. When Doug put that thumb up in the air, what did he do?
Turn
it down or off,
yes.
So that I can plug this in. And I can plug this in without looking, which means I'm keeping eye contact with the whole audience the whole time, which is also very important. Need I say again, this is all to keep this sacred space sacred, keep your eye contact with your audience, and maintain this sense of performance. If you don't, and by the time you plug that in, Doug will nod and say you're ready, and then you can go on and totally do what you do. But if you don't give him the high sign, go ahead and turn it up. These aren't your speakers. I'm not worried about it. What are you people doing? What's wrong with your ear? Did you see that lady back there? She jumped. She said, "Oh!" If somebody before your good song goes, "Oh!" Do you think they're ready to hear a ballad? It's like a muscle, like any other muscle. If you're made to cringe, you're in a fight or flight response. You're not listening in a loving way. You're definitely not going to hear a lyric go by. It takes time to recover from any anomaly that happens before your performance. So anything you can do to keep a space calm, that's why people are quiet. You don't want people talking next to you, not only because of that very moment when they're talking, but they may have said something to piss you off, and you may have 5 minutes later trying to listen to the song, you know? So you're just trying to make a space around you that is good for good sounding music. And if you pop that going in there, you have taken stuff away from the people around you, and you're not gonna get your good song across. So you present it to Doug. Doug gives a high sign, he turns it down. I put it in, he turns it up. And please try to find it. Doug, I'm coming up. Please try to find the hole without looking. Go ahead, make your own joke. Okay, you're finished? Can we get on now? Whatever you can do, what I tend to do is take my pointer finger, I put it next to the plug. Then I go here, I put the finger in the plug hole, then I replace the finger with the plug. You can certainly find this without looking. The reason why is that I have seen this. Honest to God, I you can't make this stuff up. I actually saw someone do this. You know you don't want to share a ketchup bottle with them. No, so in this, is that just a little distracting, maybe? So that's in, and you're ready for your performance. I'm going to ask you, unless you have something planned to say that's historically relevant or very funny, don't introduce the song. You have introduced yourself, don't tell me what the song is about. If you have to tell me what the song is about, guess where we're going?
You need to rewrite it.
You got to rewrite the song, because the song isn't doing its job. And I'm going to stop here for a second and talk about songwriting for a minute. I am going to look at your song a little bit. Is this not happening here? Is it there it is. I will look at the song. The cliche police are going to be out today, because that's part of getting the song across. I also will look at some of the playing that you'll be doing. I will giveth and taketh away parts of your guitar and guitar playing, because often what will happen is that your guitar playing is actually in the way of what you're trying to do. Honest to God, that's the truth. But I will look at the song a little bit. I'm leaning harder towards performance today, but if it smells like poop, okay, and I don't mean to be like so ultimately judgmental, but if you're singing lyrics at me and you have a dinner time second verse, what I mean by that is that usually most people's first verses are golden. And then they write a bridge that's really cool. And then they go to write the second verse, oh gosh, you'll be home around about 6:30. It's 5:15. I'll get a second verse done by dinner. And it usually sounds like you wrote it a prey dinner. It just sounds like you rushed it, and it didn't have the heart to it and the thought in it. And I know your time is precious, so I'm going to ask you, as writers, that's a good time to put the song away till the next day, till your next writing gap, till your next time you have 3 hours to sit down and be critical with your own work. But that we'll get to that if we can get deeper into that with the performance thing. So you're about to do your song. Now I'm going to have us look posturally, top to bottom, as to what this delivery is going to look like. Let's start at the top of the head. Unless it's part definitely of your ensemble, I'm going to ask you to ditch the hat. Whatever the hat is, unless it's so very cool that you just can't stand it, I'm going to ask you to take the hat off. Because people want to see the whole visage. They want to see everything that's going on. Same thing with glasses. This is a do as I say, don't do as I do thing. I'm not going to take mine off now because I need to see you, and this is not a very conducive place for contact lenses right now with what I'm doing. So I'm going to ask you to imagine contact lenses being in. However, the reason why glasses come off are twofold. The audience, no matter how expensive your glasses are and how wonderful non-refractive they are and everything else, you know what, I got news for you. They set up a glare and they block your eyes. And I have to be cliche, eyes, window, soul, yes, all that stuff is the real deal. If people can see a folk singer and look them in the eyes, you're getting your song across. It's a big part of your sale, and we are selling a song. And the other thing is, if you get a glare, you see less of the audience. And if there's lights, even more so. So glasses, if at all possible, come off for a nice clean performance. Let's come down through here. One hand, hand width away from the microphone is a great place to start your singer. In any direction here, anything that looks like a Shure 58, it's a great place to start because they have a nice clean throat. If you run into a microphone that looks like one of those cool Shure microphones and it has a blue band around it, you have to sing somewhat differently. You'll have to work the microphone more and you'll have to be more up on it. And you can't bang the microphone vocally. You can't beat it up. That kind of microphone is called a beta, and it does more wonderful things to your highs and your voice and such. However, it is not as rounded a microphone, I'm going to tell you first, unless you got somebody like Doug at the board who can make the adjustments for it. But a lot of people don't know what they're doing back there. So a plain Shure 58 is far better because it's far more forgiving. You see it on Saturday Night Live, unless someone has brought their own mic. On Letterman, you see it all over the place. It's just a plain, white bread, wonderful microphone. It is the Ford Fairlane of microphones. It will last forever, and it's great to sing into. If you need to sing loud, you can come back off here. If you need to get quiet, you come right up on the microphone. So you learn to work the microphone for what you need to do. This is working the microphone also. There's no shame in going off the microphone Not only is it picking you up ambiently, but you are using the stage. You're like a good pitcher at this point. You're giving them something else to look at, and it's just as effective. It doesn't always have to. This is sound support. You're making the sound. Once Doug is up and running what he's doing, if Doug is a good sound person and you're a half-decent performer, this is what Doug should be doing back there at the soundboard. He should not be chasing you with volume. He doesn't know what songs you're going to play, whether you're going to be loud and soft, and what your dynamic thingy is going to be. You do that. You run sound at this point from the microphone. That's why you have that, that, and for God's sake, you have this. When I thank an audience after a song, I tend to come off the microphone. Even at the festival, I'll go, thank you, Greg. People see it. They don't have to hear,
thank you. Thank you, glad you like it. Thank you.
Like, dude, you're welcome. Step back. So it's very effective here. It shows a little bit of humility. It also means that you're working your stage a little bit. Let's come down through the shoulders. It's a shoulder strap. If it comes further over to the neck, it is officially a neck strap. And it does things to your muscles here. Anything that does things to the muscles up here, you're asking for trouble. Shut that baby up. Ain't no babies in here. Or maybe kick that baby's ass. Mama don't allow no children up in here. I'm just teasing. I don't want that child's first experience with a black man to be like that. No. Bring him on up here. Does he want to perform? What's his name?
Griffin.
You named the child after a half chicken, half horse thing?
Griffin. This is God, Griffin.
I'm just teasing, you know I'm kidding. Little Griffin. Oh, shut up, people. Big old collective. Oh, what's wrong with you? Like y'all ain't never seen a baby before. Little Griffin. He's just crying because he got some poop in it. You know you do, Mom. He does go.
Griffin got a stinky yeah. He's a little Griffin, you know.
Mom, you know what he wants, right? You can do that here. You're amongst friends if you want to. Bring him on up here. I'll pop one in his mouth. I'm just trying to be helpful. Black people did that for years. My middle name is Wet Nurse. What do you mean? Comedy doesn't hurt in folk music, as you can tell. Comedy, being willing to deal with your surroundings. You know, let your surroundings go. Play out. I think the best thing for you, if you're fledgling and new, and you don't want to play the place, you're not making money, but you don't want to play places that are bars and all, go play them. Go play them. There's a way to do it and not wear your voice out. There's a way to focus and play those places so they don't hurt you. It's a very zen kind of way to play them, but you can play them so that you're a sound and nothing else is bothering you, Nam Yeho, whatever. But yeah, Griffin's starting to bug your shit out of me at this point. Yeah. No, I'm just teasing. Anyway, so it is a shoulder strap. Let's go down through here. For heavy set men and women, there are kind of rules here that I think can make your life easier. This is going to come off as sounding kind of strange, maybe a little vulgar. I don't care. Heavy set women, Saul and Irv, have places that they can be. Saul, this is why the guitar is cut like that there. That can rest right there. And the guitar does not need to be straight out in front. It can be off to the side. So now what you have for men and women is a little bit of space for that which protrudes because you're over 40, if you are, or whatever. And if you're breasty, there are places for it. The reason being, and this is purely for a health reason, if the guitar is out like this, and I'm going to turn it to the side so you can see it, and you reach over to play it, anybody here do massage, body therapy? This is trouble, isn't it?
Yes.
Am I asking for trouble?
Yes.
Am I really going to be in deep doo-doo?
I'm
going to
kick your ass.
Girl, I'll see you back at the motel. That sounded so nice to me right now. And it's been so long. Last time I had anything, I was a waiter at the Last Supper, baby. That sounded good. Yeah, I can't really explain what's going on, but I'm pronating stuff. I'm pulling my lower back. This will give you, tell me if I'm telling the truth. This will give you left thigh pain.
Yes.
Left thigh pain, reaching across with the right hand. So if you're protruding or booby, tip that sucker to the side. Here's a benefit to that. If you tip it to the side, get off the damn phone. I thought you were testifying with me. He's like, yes, yes. I thought he's going to be joining you and me later. I was like, oh. When you're what? Oh. So what happens if you're able to tip that guitar to the side? You have another benefit. This is a good evening or a good time for you to do songs that you don't really know as well as you'd like, and you don't have all the chord changes right in your face for. You can reach right up and see your left hand. Isn't that fabulous? Because here's another thing that's very distracting to the audience when a singer is doing that new song. As they're looking down to catch the chord as it goes by. That's very distracting, not only to you as the singer, but to the audience. So if it's out here, again, let's not think about this guitar flinging its sound out hither and yon to the audience. It's got the pickup here. Even you without the mic, the plug into the guitar, it's still more ambient than you would ever imagine. So let's come down through the hips. Women, if you're keeping time, and I demand that you keep time, this will be the biggest thing we talk about. I just assume you not rock your hips. No matter what song you're doing, it's after a while. I'm thinking more than folk music, and it's just inappropriate. It's just not such a good thing at all. It's insincere. It's not really. I can tell you that it doesn't look like it's grooving. We're going down through the knees now. The knees are comfortably bent, as if you're about to receive serve, or you're about to make a set shot. Or you're about defense foil, whatever your sport might have been, whatever you're about to jump into something, a little less bend than that, and that's where your knees will be. You don't want to lock them because your energy will stop right at your knee. It's not going anywhere. It's not, and energy needs to be sent from the top down to the floor. This is the feeling should be going through your body as you're setting it down to the floor. And the last thing, the most important thing, if you take nothing out of this performance workshop, songwriting workshop, I'm going to demand that you keep time in your feet. And the reason is that most singer-songwriters operate in Eastern Standard emotional time. Do you notice anytime you try to get a drummer, you guys ain't got no drummer, no drummers want to play with you. Oh, he sucks, that doesn't matter. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you've played with people that their time is all over the place and you're just dragging them around. And they're dragging you around. It's because singer-songwriters are going after the song, they're going after harmony, and they're not going after time. They tend not to keep good time. And that's part of the reason. Part of the reason why time isn't going through their body in such a way that it makes a sort of clicking sense as it goes through. And that's part of the, I don't mean to paint such a bleak picture. I'm pointing out all the problems in one individual. Sometimes you get somebody that has all the problems going on at once. They're a lot of fun to work with. It's a blast. It's a blast. I can make snakes fly when I get somebody like that up here, and they're willing. But sometimes one of these things is absent, and time tends to be the one that is most absent. What I ask people to do? Is keep time. Can you hear that?
Yes.
I'm hitting it kind of hard. But the foot should start the song. You think in your head as the what the drummer might play to start you off. That's what you keep. I'm not going to say you're counting on the two and the four. I'm not going to give you a music lesson up here. But you'll know what I'm talking about when you hear the song start. just a tone, which is what I'm doing now. You can tap the heel. You can throw the whole foot down. You can do the heel toe rock back and forth. You can do what I call the gospel rock, where you're tapping on the toe and the heel on this foot, and you rock over to the heel. And I'm going to the other foot. Now what happens there as I'm doing the gospel rock, and I'm rocking from one side to the other, I'm taking care of my audience, which means I'm looking at the audience. I'm gonna jump back up to the eyes for a minute here. As I'm taking care of the audience, I'm looking at each one of you, making you feel like you're part of my show, and you are. It's very important. I see people every once in a while, I'll say something or sing something, and they'll nod in agreement or disagreement. I'm moving that audience. I'm working with that audience at that point. That's what makes me so damn famous. I'm big in the music business, like a barnacle's big in shipping, but I'm big enough. So I'm getting to look at the whole audience and tap my foot at the same time. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it is very effective. Let's go back up to the eyes a minute. As I'm playing, scan the audience. Look at somebody in the front. She smiles. You ain't got no reason to smile at me. I don't know you. But you feel brought in. That is all it's about. This is about making community. Now I'm making community. Now, you know, maybe three songs in, maybe then I'll allow people to ask, how are you? Because now you're making some community. I can look in the back. I can look up. I can close my eyes. I can loll to one side. I can look over here. I can look as if I am looking to somebody. Sometimes you're in an audience and you can't see the audience for anything. You have to imagine where their faces might be. You can make up where that is. You can figure out where that is. Stevie Wonder can do it. You can do it. He ain't seen an audience member's face in, quite a few years. But he can take care of the whole audience just by where he wags his head and where he's directing his music to. And you're doing that with the face. So if it's a waltz, 3, 1, 2, 3, you're just on the one. But if you're tapping to a tune, it's 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, or 1, 2, 3. 4, 2 and 4, just like a drummer would. I'll accept some 1 on 3. It doesn't swing quite as hard. Okay, swing. Swing, groove, in the pocket, feels good, melding with the other players, depending on what genre of music you're, I'm shouting. Go ahead and turn this thing off. Man, I'm working my ass off. There you go, that's it. Well, I can shout now, I can do that too. All those genres, swing is from jazz, groove is funk and rock, in the pocket is funk and R&B, melding with the other players is more of a classical kind of thing, feeling good is throughout of it. It's that sense of the music is holding up its own, it's staying together. And it's, you can feel everyone moving together and playing together and dancing together. And just in some sort of human synchronicity that works with the music. Even though synchronized might mean they're doing something here and somebody else is doing something here that fits in. It may not be right exactly when they do it, but it's consistently in that gap. That I just defined swing. God help me if anybody really wants to put me to the test with that, but that's as close as I'm gonna get. And that gets that whole sensibility off of the audience's back. They're feeling it. Oh, big. Oh, that feels good. Now I can listen to the lyric. I'm not working so hard to make something musical. And the audience works hard. They working their buns off, making it so that what you're doing is musical. They shouldn't have to work that hard. You make it musical, your good lyric is going to come across. You see where this is clashing now? You see where songwriting and performance are starting, their trains are about to bash. Boy, if you can't get the song across, then how are you gonna sell it to somebody? How are you gonna perform it on the main stage? So you're done with your song or your little setlet. You thanked people and everything else, and they're clapping, and you present the butt of the guitar to Doug. He gives you the thumbs up, which means you unplug. What has Doug done before you unplug? Turn it down. Oh, another thing, just one more thing. If you're gonna end the song, I don't care where you end it, what chord you end it like you mean it. You know, whatever it takes, mean it. What I'm saying is, it's almost an insult to the audience if you... It's like, you have to remember, these people have just spent 5.5 minutes of their time and their ear work and everything else. They did some work listening to you. You owe them an ending. You owe them the sincerity of, I meant it. That's all I'm saying about that. So, presented, unplug, the audience claps. Yeah. Okay, you reverse your procedure. You reverse your procedure. You don't have to clap, but as if you were clapping, you come here, you nod before you totally leave the stage. And as you go back to your seat, as you're sitting down, you give one little second nod, depending on how long they're clapping. If you can get to your seat in time, and they're still clapping, because people, they're like, they're watching you go, and they're like, whoa, that was great. Does he have an album? Does he have a ride home? You know, they're looking at everything about you. They want to know and want to be part of everything that you're about. And you're not done until you nod from this last vantage point and sit down. Once you sit down, that time is your own. You can do what you want. Well, however you come down after performance. Am I going down off the thing here? Thank you so much. See, I even carry my own guy with me to make sure my ass stays on the stick. That's how important I make. Thank you, dear pop. So, whatever you do, waiter, or some people vomit between your shoes. Whatever your end of performance thing is, that is what I think of as that. Hell, that took almost 40 minutes. And that should be a 5-minute thing. I know it sounds like a lot of material. It will become second nature to you. It may be second nature to some of you already when we do a little bit of work. I'm going to ask that those that I do the work with up here, not to be frightened. It's going to be fun. Has anybody seen me work before doing this? Okay, so you know that is cool. It's not. This is a safe and sacred place. If I'm laughing with you, it's not at you. It's because we're just... And if you're really struggling and flailing and failing at what we're doing, yes. Not only is it great for my instructional purposes, it's great because that means you can go from here to there. The hardest ones I find working with are pros, because they get set in certain ways of doing things, and it's hard to break them down. They're hard to break down. So a couple of things as I work with particularly duos. We're going to make the setup as quick as possible, because I think the more streamlined the setup is, if we can't get it set up in about 15 or 20 seconds, I'm going to ask you to sit down and we start again. I need you to scan what's up here and get ready to get yourself ready quickly. If that means two of you on a mic, let's call it Newport 67. That's what we're going to do. Okay? I want kind of a raw-ish kind of thing, particularly with the duos. With the solos and the duos, there's a couple of things I'd like you to think about. When you come up here, please, please, please do not take this as your opportunity to get your great song across to the audience, because I'm going to hurt your feelings. Bring me something that's bugging you. And we'll talk about it for a second in front of the audience. Bring me something that's really annoying you song-wise, and then we can work on it. That's not going to be any reflection on these fine, thoughtful, performing people here. I just need fodder. And you'll get more out of the work if I am working on something that needs a push, rather than me going up against someone who brings their hit and says, well, I've been playing this for 8 years and I don't plan on changing it. That either puts me in a position of saying, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Well, great, okay. Which I'm not going to do. Or it puts me in a position of saying, you could have been playing it for 18 years. It still sucks. Sit down. And I would neither do either one of those things. So don't put me in a position to decide. Come up with something that is just bugging you. One of the things that's going to bug you is that the instrument is going to be in the way. And I just wanted to go over some guitar things, particularly for the guitars. You, I'm not sure what we're going to do yet, or you, but we're going to look at whether you're in the way. Do you sing?
Yes.
You do sing?
Sometimes.
So we're going to take a look at whether you're in the way sometimes and see what's going on here. For example, getting the guitar out of the way with the New York style mute pick technique. China gets broken, it may never be the same. Ships on the ocean find their way back again. I was weaving like a... Very effective. Very effective. Reason why is that I've gotten the guitar out of the way. Here's how I've seen it played by somebody who thinks that all the guitars should be working all the time. China gets broken, it may never be the same. Ships on the ocean find a way back. And this woman here, she's looking, she's just going like, a really very mildly constipated look you have, ladies. She's looking, she's just going like, and it's because I've hit her with this wall of sound. And she's working now, she's like almost craning her head up out of the guitar to hear the lyric. And one of the things I love about how Sean Colvin plays and Patty Larkin and people who really know how to take a pick to the guitar is that they'll give you the chords. But when they start singing, they allude to them. Notice how the foot carried me to where I needed to go, right? It is so minimalist, and you have no idea that you have become the musician. You're carrying the harmony line with the rhythmic thing that's going on. You're carrying it in your head. You're taking it with you, and you're grooving with it. And it doesn't have to hammer you over the head. You hear it here, and it's like, I'm a bad player. I'm not even, if I was to sound this chord out, but, you know, that's how it is rhythmically, but if I just plectrum him through it. I mean, it's sloppy. But if you hit it on the one, two, and the three, and the four, suddenly it's like a drummer with the mute on. So that's one of the things, we're gonna be getting the guitar out of the way. I may actually ask you to sing less too. I will be having you tap your feet. So what I'm gonna do is, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Yeah, 3 or 4 minutes. It gives us about a half hour to work with people. I'm gonna ask people to tune up. Don't go anywhere. People are gonna tune up, and it's gonna take 4 minutes, and then we'll come back and start Vance Gilbert's mic, open mic at Schmuckies. I'll be right back.